Hi, and welcome to the Rare Business Podcast. My name is Adrian Swinsko, and I'm a consultant, advisor, researcher, and writer on all things related to customer service and customer experience. Through this podcast, I seek out and interview CEOs, entrepreneurs, business and tech leaders, and leading thinkers about what it takes to build organizations that produce better outcomes for both customers and employees in this fast-moving modern age that we live in. If this is your first time listening to one of these interviews, then welcome. And please do dive into the archives at adrianswinsko.com, as I've now completed over 250 of these interviews in the last few years. If this is not your first time listening, then thank you for returning, and I'll aim to do a good enough job to keep you coming back week after week. Anyway, that's enough from me right now. Let's get into the interview. So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Tom Martin, who is the CEO of Glance Networks. Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
Great, Adrian. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, Tom, for the benefit of our listeners and readers, can you tell us a little bit about you and also a little bit about the work that you do?
Sure. Yeah, you mentioned I'm the CEO of a company called Glance Networks. Glance is an enterprise software company, and our mission is to help companies make doing business easier and more personal online by allowing customers and agents to see, show, and share anything instantly, wherever they are on any device. We call it visual engagement.
Okay.
So we work with clients like Intuit, TurboTax, QuickBooks, Constant Contact, Staples, and Mindbody, along with a number of other financial and insurance companies.
Fantastic. Now, Tom, I was actually looking at this, and I know we've talked before, and I was doing a bit of research, and I was sort of, if you like, pardon the pun, visualizing the visual engagement part of it. And the thing that came to mind for me is, like, I'm thinking, crumbs, I remember having conversations with my dad when he first adopted sort of computing in earnest. And at this time, he was on a Windows PC, and I'd moved to a Mac a few years before. So that my last recollection of Windows operating systems was XP, and he was into kind of the tiled Windows 7, 8, 9, and 10 and things. And I'm thinking, he would always call me up and he would say, Adrian, can you help me with this? And I'm like, Dad, tell me what you're looking at. And he would like, it's a screen. And I'm thinking, blimey, I wish I could have had what I think you guys are kind of doing now, because it feels like it's that sort of it's solving that asymmetry of information sort of kind of problem that comes up a lot, if that makes sense.
No, it does. You know, I think anyone who finds themselves working in tech or definitely software finds themselves as being the person in their family that provides tech support to their parents and siblings. You know, most companies find themselves providing tech support to their customers because of the nature or complexity of the topic.
Yeah.
Nothing is more personal than your health and money. And those are verticals that benefit significantly from, you know, our solutions. You know, your dad, you know, my parents, and many customers feel outside of their comfort zone, and having a real human being to provide those assurances is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. So, can you actually tell me how your tech works, and, you know, and particularly the kind of the problem it solves, just to kind of bring it sort of to life, almost to give our listeners and readers kind of really a good, a clear idea of kind of what it is you're actually trying to do.
Sure. So we have what we call a visual engagement platform that incorporates a variety of technologies that people are probably familiar with. You think about screen sharing and co-browse, agent video. Those are things that can be incorporated into websites, applications, mobile apps to deliver the solution. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the agent side can be in, you know, a modern day integrated solution like Salesforce or ServiceNow, Zendesk, etc. And the whole idea is really focusing on how to connect people together with as little or no effort as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, as self-service, you know, when you think about self-service today, you know, it's increasingly becoming the mode most people interact with companies. And that is not a bad thing. But the contact center handling voice and chat and other social media has really become more often an escalation path. Mm. And the challenge is matching that experience customers are accustomed to having online when they get connected with a real human being.
Right.
So, yeah, I want to just mention that, you know, that while there's other technologies that I mentioned that people are somewhat familiar with, you know, they don't solve that in-the-moment problem. You know,
right.
People are reaching out for assistance along that journey, and they aren't too pleased when they have to start over. You know, you mentioned earlier just the thought about, like, Dad, you know, what do you see in the upper right-hand corner?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you looking at? Can you scroll down a bit? You know, I've been on your website for at least, say, 20 minutes. You know, why don't you know that I'm here? You know, there's a lot of friction in that model that,
sure.
That you've experienced. So going back to that sort of delivering on that in-the-moment experience where agents systematically know that a customer is online and they're able to join that session without the end customer really having to do anything, literally, you know, maybe some legal disclaimer is required, but that provide the experience that they are either unable or have the type of interaction that you are having that is just too simple or too hard to get to.
Mm.
And I always tell people, you know, there's sort of the analogy that I like to climb mountains, and getting to the top of that mountain, the view and the experience is just amazing. But not a lot of people go up there because it's too hard. But in your everyday life, when you're trying to do things that just allow you to live your life, like depositing a check or filling out a loan application,
yeah,
whatever it might be, it shouldn't be that hard, and companies need to recognize that.
And so, am I right in saying, so, like, if imagine either I'm on a call with an agent, or maybe I've been sending a request for support into a help desk, and say I'm trying to do something, and there's back and forth, and I'm getting some instructions, and I can't quite get the right sort of solution or the right fix. Is it then that the agent might then offer up here's a link, or I'll send you a link, and that will precipitate a screen sharing arrangement. Is that how it would work in practice?
Yeah, it could.
Okay.
It could also be that if you're sitting on a website, I could say, Adrian, I see you're online. Do you mind if we browse together? And you could say, yes. And next thing you know, I'm actually looking at your browser window, and I could highlight and gesture on the screen and guide you through that experience. And you have not had to do anything. Maybe you've clicked on an accept button that says that Tom can view your browser window. You know, if I need to view your actual screen and, you know, do some tech support on your computer, you know, there might be some small downloadable. But, you know, we're talking about in the moment. You know, you're trying to book a airline ticket to get over here to Boston to visit. Yeah, those are the types of in the moment experiences.
So it's actually not just about when people need help, i.e. when they've had a problem. It could be at any point along that sort of digital journey, they can, you know, you can engage with them and give them guidance in real time.
Yeah, and, you know, you go back to some of the things that we've seen a number of the analysts come out with, you know, Gartner and Forrester. You know, they talk about how, you know, over 90% of the companies today expect to compete mostly on the basis of customer experience.
Mm.
You know, that means if you aren't already investing in these tools, you need to produce an excellent customer experience, you're really rapidly falling behind. You know, these are things that you realize, if I can buy this product or service from 25 different companies, why am I buying it from you?
And I guess the key thing about that is that, because I think that's kind of one of the fascinating things about service and experience, is that if people want to get help, it's sort of, in many cases, people are forced to go looking for it and have to switch channels and do all that. And I guess it's, you're sort of minimizing, taking that level of friction out of it as well. It's sort of, it's almost like helping people where they are rather than actually forcing them to change.
Right. You know, customers for a long time have been forced to meet the model of the business, and now the business is really starting to wise up and realize that to compete today, we need to meet the customer where the customer is, wherever they are, on any device. And if we can do that, you know, not only can we deliver a better experience, but we can also, you know, deliver a better experience for the people that are trying to support them. So that you think about, you know, agents today, when they're given tools and an opportunity to see and experience, you know, what the customer is doing, to feel their frustration. Suddenly, you know, it's the old adage of how do you have disgruntled agents delivering, you know, happy outcomes for customers? It's pretty hard.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Tom, actually, one of the big things that's floating around kind of right now, and it's you know, particularly in Europe and here in the UK, and it's, you know, it's having an impact in the States as well, as this whole GDPR legislation that's coming to, you know, into play. So how does your, I mean, I guess I'm going to have to get used to asking everybody I'm speaking to is like, how does their technology or their approach work in terms of data and privacy and security and stuff? I mean, how does that impact, or has it impacted kind of what you've had to do and the approach that you've taken?
It has. In the past couple months, it's been a question that pretty much every senior leader of every client that we've been talking to has asked us, you know, what are your preparations for GDPR? And it's a timely question. I think it's going into effect this Friday.
Yeah.
So, you know, Glance takes every effort to ensure that we comply with the stringent requirements of GDPR to ensure the protection of all of our customers' data. We don't record the contents of any screen share, co-browse, or video session. And the session data itself is encrypted while in motion, and it's never at rest, you know, meaning that it is never saved.
Right.
One of the things that we encourage all of our customers to use is industry standard single sign-on mechanisms such as SAML 2.0 to eliminate the need for, you know, Glance or anybody who's going to capture data to even store customer logins or passwords. And the other part is that our solution, thinking about, you know, the sensitive data that might be exposed when you're sharing a browser or a screen, you know, we enable inside of our tool, we let every customer, you know, business customer, mask sensitive user information that may appear during a session, such as a credit card number or a taxpayer identification number. You know, we can mask all of those elements so that it never touches, you know, our service, ensuring complete privacy to the end user.
Perfect. The other thing I was wanted to ask you about, because I see it's kind of quite prominent on your website, is that you also kind of asked Forrester to study and quantify the benefits of what you call get visual engagement. And I was just curious about, I mean, why you did that and kind of what they found out. I mean, was it because it's what you're doing is actually quite new? And is it that therefore it's a way of trying to, if you like, make the market, or was there another reason behind it?
No, I think you touched on a really good point. You know, visual engagement as a category is relatively new. Some of the technology that is being leveraged has been around for some time. So this was an opportunity to really further define the category and the market. We also know that many companies, you know, as they start to evaluate their own digital transformation, their own how do we improve customer experience and the service that we provide to them, you know, understand what is the benefit and, you know, what are the business drivers that are going to deliver the best outcome. So we often talk about visual engagement in association with customer engagement, which has been, you know, the buzz for some time. And, you know, today we're being bombarded with, you know, all kinds of digital technologies like bots and artificial intelligence. So it was a good opportunity for us to really, quantify and really demonstrate the quantifiable business value that can be brought, as well as, you know, educating the enterprise market on what is possible. So that's what we set out to do.
And what were the main findings that came out of the report, or the piece of work that Forrester did?
Well, so there's there's a long list of things that came out, but the thing that was even shocking to us, you know, from an overall perspective, the return on investment was, you know, almost 400% for companies that deployed this type of a solution. Not only did it improve things like, call center metrics like average handle time, first call resolution, but it also improved things like revenue because companies who use this tool were able to expose their clients through this type of an interaction to other products and services and features.
Yeah.
But it also created that emotional connection with customers that we know helps build long-time value with customers.
You know, I always find it fascinating where, and I hear it from people again and again and again, when they talk about how if by focusing on doing the right thing at the right time, particularly around the point of purchase or when something kind of goes wrong, how it drives increased loyalty and therefore increased revenue and stuff. And there's been research that to support that for a few years now. And I think it's fascinating. Whilst all the evidence is there, is like doing the right thing at the right time, make things easy for the customer. You, as you rightly say, is you build that emotional connection. But yet, I'm continually frustrated that people still split these things out and kind of lowball a lot of their support and also a lot of their point of purchase sort of stuff, and then separate out of their loyalty program, and they don't see it as a connected thing. And so it's great to hear how there's a multifaceted sort of like set of returns from what some of the stuff that you're doing.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that is we've used, and it's been around for a while, some of the work that Matt Dixon and his team has done around the effortless experience.
Yeah.
Has written a number of books. He's written some stuff for the Harvard Business Review. And, he always says to really win your customer's loyalty, forget the bells and whistles, just solve their problems with as little effort as possible. That is the key to customer happiness, future revenue that you hope to achieve with the client, and of course, lifetime value. Those are simple words, not always the easiest to deliver on.
Yeah. And so, I know you going back to what you said at the beginning, you had mentioned a couple of clients, you talked about Intuit and a couple of other people. I mean, does your solution fit better in certain situations, i.e. more complicated situations, or is there applications across the board?
Yeah, I would say everyone would like to say that we fit in all areas and for all situations, but clearly as a consumer, we know that there are appropriate places within a journey where it makes sense. And I think of an example just quickly with a bank that as you start that process of thinking about applying for a loan, the digital tools that are available tend to be a lot better and more efficient for the consumer to consume than talking immediately to a human being. So thinking about a calculator and what do I actually qualify, and a little FAQ to understand about some of the different loan components, maybe a comparison tool, and maybe a way to pre-qualify to understand what is my monthly loan. But when I click the apply button, there's intent, and we want to make sure that we get that customer to the submit button because they've decided that they're ready to apply for the loan. So we have a hot customer, and that's where a human component can fit in. And I would also say that where areas that are clearly situations that work very well for us are in things that are very personal to people, people's health, people's finances. You can't get more personal than that. And those are things that we excel at, and clearly those are good use cases for us.
Perfect. So, Tom, I mean, here's the thing. How about you give us a couple of examples of sort of use cases or customer stories to bring this whole, Glance Networks approach to life? I mean, can you tell us a little bit about, give us a couple of examples of some of your customers, the problems that we're facing, how they've applied your solution, and the sort of benefits that we're seeing, so we can bring this whole thing to life, as I was saying?
Yeah, sure. I've got two that I'm thinking about.
Okay,
one,
cool.
One's with Constant Contact.
Okay.
This is a company that supports many small and medium businesses. You know, you think about nonprofits, churches.
Yeah.
And using sort of that email marketing isn't their primary role or experience. And you know, here's a client of ours that from the get-go, from the executive suite, you know, is committed to delivering the best customer support possible. And you know, from the top, there was an executive level mandate to continue to improve the experience that they delivered. And so they started to work with our tool, and one of the realizations that they had was that anytime someone calls in, you know, they recognize that, well, the customer's calling in because they're on our website, so why not join them? And knowing that they were already a high-functioning organization, they weren't sure what the outcome was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that they realized was that they could improve those rates. There was insights that they were able to find from having some of those interactions with people that any type of a tool was not able to sort of identify. Hey, there's some things that we can actually improve on our website.
Right.
But more importantly, they were able to build that human-to-human connection so that people said, gosh, you know, I love using your tool because you guys are always here to provide us the help that we need.
Right.
And at the end, you know, they realized that they were able to expose their customers to other functionality and services that have improved revenue and lifetime value, some things that they did not expect, even from a high-functioning organization.
Fantastic. That's really good.
So the second one is you know, we work with Intuit TurboTax,
and right.
You know, we know that not everyone loves doing their taxes.
Yeah.
They're not easy to understand. You know, they cause lots of frustration and angst with customers. And this is a competitive market space that there's lots of other tools that are available that are free. There's low cost options. And Intuit decided they wanted to compete on service, not on price. And so they went down this path, and this is something that, you know, as we started to work with them, you know, we really understood that there's a number of different models that they were working with. One where a customer can, you know, download the software and run it locally on your computer. They offered a web-based solution that you can log onto a website and do your taxes. And they also came out with a mobile app that you can download from the App Store and you can do your taxes using your mobile phone.
Mm-hmm.
And Intuit was spending a lot of time helping, you know, people do their taxes. You know, many calls and lots of time getting people to the point where they could actually submit it.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about, you know, people calling back 6, 7, 8 times, you know, with questions along the path. And Intuit's like, you know, we monetize this relationship when they actually submit their taxes.
Sure.
And much of the call was really taken up from understanding where the customer is, you know, asking them those 20 questions. And the thing that Intuit started out doing was they started us with the web solution and they've moved into a number of other areas. And being able to have a tax expert see exactly what the customer is doing,
mm-hmm.
highlight areas to help direct them. And they decided to use a one-way video
right.
that lets the customer right. connect with a tax expert. And this was something that we didn't know what the benefits were going to be. We know that seeing someone on the video can help build that emotional connection. But we didn't fully expect how quickly video de-escalated the call.
Right.
You know, when people fail in a self-service journey, like, hey, I bought this tax software, I'm supposed to be able to do it myself, and now I can't figure it out, they're calling in kind of hot, and the one-way video suddenly was able to de-escalate it. Adrian, it's Tom, I'm right here to help you out.
Yeah,
suddenly,
sure.
You know, people were much more, you know, calm and relaxed, and, you know, what started out as simply improving the level of support to the customer really has turned into a game-changing way to differentiate their solution in the marketplace. This has enabled them. Yeah, I mean, this is such a great story because it enabled them to move from support to advisory services, where a customer can pay to have access to a licensed tax professional at TurboTax.
Okay.
This becomes a new source of revenue that was unimaginable years earlier.
That's very cool. I mean, also kind of like the idea, both the commonality between Constant Contact and Intuit TurboTax, and around both companies are very digital first, but the technology is allowing them to, if you like, be able to have the optionality, as it were, to ramp up the human touch, I mean, and the real connection, but not by necessarily defaulting to adding a phone line, as it were. And it's almost, I find that really interesting in that it allows digital first organizations to become more human, but without actually adopting these traditional kind of channels. You don't actually have to go down there, call us, but it's almost like an on-demand type of thing.
That's right. And it's done in the moment. So yeah. When you're actually connecting with the person, they know exactly where you are in the journey. They can see your screen. By seeing it, they probably can already figure out the challenges that you're having. So when they talk to you, they can ask some very simple, you know, maybe one question, maybe no question at all, and jump in and guide you through that next step.
Fantastic. So, Thomas, if I was to say to you that there's some leaders and entrepreneurs out there and they're thinking about, you know, their engagement with the customers and the sort of problems that their customers face along the different parts of the journey, whether that's because it's very personal issues or it's complicated or there's just like a misunderstanding around different sort of things, and there's sort of some of these issues are resonating kind of with them. I mean, apart from going out and buying your product, I mean, what advice would you give them about where they should start in terms of unpicking some of these issues to then, you know, set themselves up to make better decisions and to move forward?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things that really resonate with me is, you know, we can always talk about solving, you know, challenges with low customer satisfaction or, you know, contact center metrics that they're trying to impact. But I think this is a much deeper, you know, question that really stems from, you know, the core of the business is, you know, do they believe they are competing on product, feature, price, or have they actually started to, you know, change and have a mandate that says, you know what, our customers are the most important thing that we have, and how we interact with them is you know, paramount. So instead of thinking about how we're organizing the business, that we're actually going to sit there and take a look and understand, you know, what the customer journey looks like, and really map out where, you know, the humans can be, you know, the most influential to drive those experiences. And you know, I think the other part is. You know, when you take a look and say, you know, who are the high value relationships that we have, and can we take those really important relationships, enable it with the right type of, you know, technology to take those relationships to the next level?
Perfect. That's really helpful. Thanks, Tom. And so, Tom, is there anything that you'd like to add that you'd like to highlight that we've missed out before I ask you my final question?
Well, yeah, I don't need to belabor this one. I think it's something that we've underlined throughout the conversation. But you know, in this age of digital transformation, the human being is still the most valuable asset a company has. You know, customers buy from companies, but they want to do business with people they know, like, and trust.
Absolutely. Hear, hear, Tom. So that brings me to my final question that I always ask at the end of these interviews, and I've done quite a few of them now. I actually keep saying this, over 260 so far, which kind of makes me think I've been at this a long time. But the question is this, Tom, is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
I appreciate that, Adrian, and you know, there is actually. We're going to be over in London this week at a Gartner event, and we just recently launched the new mobile app sharing that is now going to be available. This was a gap in the marketplace, as this type of experience, the way we have delivered it, was not available before. We've launched this publicly after being battle tested with Intuit during this tax season. And in a world where enterprises are connected with their customers across a variety of platforms, you know, we can uniquely cover the entire gamut of those connections, you know, with our omni-channel visual engagement solution. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome, Tom. And thanks very much. I mean, congratulations on what you're doing, because I think it's like And I think it's really interesting, and it adds, if you like, not just a tool for the customer, but a tool for the support or the service agent or representative as well to do more. And because I'm pretty sure that they see some of these frustrations come from their customers coming through to them on these different channels, but in allowing people to sort of leapfrog and leap forward and leap back in terms of to try and solve these sort of problems in a different way using this, that, as you say, the co-browsing visual engagement sort of tool, I think it's really neat and very interesting. And so I congratulate you on that.
I appreciate it.
Well, yeah, thank you. But I also just want to say thanks very much for, you know, sharing your time with us today, telling us what you're up to, and congratulations on your, you know, success so far. It's your success so far. Long may it continue. And yeah, thanks very much.
Adrian, thank you for your time.
Well, that's it for another interview. I really hope you enjoyed it. Now, every time I complete one of these interviews, I learn something new, and I try and incorporate that new learning into my writing, my speaking, my workshops, and the consulting that I do for my clients. If you're interested, you can find out more about how I work with clients over at adriansfrancisco.com. But one final thing before I go, please consider heading over to iTunes or whichever podcast platform you choose to use, and do leave a review. Every little helps, as they say. Anyway, that's all for now. Thank you for listening, and do listen in again. All the very best.